Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand as we sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
Dearest Heavenly Father, as we enter into this worship service, we pray for faithful hearts that seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to remain steadfast in our devotion and in our commitment to your ways. May our worship be a pleasing offering in your sight, a fragrant offering of love and devotion. As we gather in worship, may our hearts be steadfast and our spirits faithful, drawing us closer to your divine presence. With faithful hearts and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen.
Our next hymn is "Every Time I Feel the Spirit," 404.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Jesus teaches us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But who are the others? Jesus teaches us, be merciful as your Father is merciful. But what is mercy? Jesus teaches us, forgive and you will be forgiven. But how do we forgive?
By recognizing enemies, friends, family, strangers, and ourselves as people in need of compassion.
Let us worship God who loves us and who empowers us to love one another with mercy and with compassion. One joy this week, which is a good thing. We have our bulletins out today, and between the snow and Wanda was feeling a little bit under the weather, she still managed to get them out for us, and that's a good thing. Yet unfortunately, we still have a lot of concerns in this world. We have a lot of people who are sick, who are poor, who are needy, who are hungry. And I tell you, I guess after weeks and weeks, it almost sounds like the same old, same old. But we still need to say prayers. We still need to pray for people. I mean, we have people who are still suffering from all the natural disasters. We've had multiple airplane crashes. We have wars and conflicts and hostilities going on in this world. And even in this country, we're in turmoil. Things are changing. They're changing very fast. People's lives are being affected. Whether it's good or it's bad, everyone has their own opinions. But either way, prayers are needed. So as we today and as we go through the week, let us remember each and every one of these people and these circumstances and these disasters in our prayers as we go forward during the week. Amen. Oop. Does anybody have any other prayers or concerns? I almost forgot that.
I do.
You can go ahead. You can.
Oh, okay. I found out yesterday that a friend of mine back in Michigan is dying. She's with hospice. She was our pianist at our church for many, many, many. I've known her ever since I was a little girl. So all of a sudden, she ended up having congestive heart failure and a multiple of other things. So now she's dying. And I also found out yesterday that my cousin has died in Michigan. So please pray for the families that are left behind.
Is there anybody else? You know what? I can't hear, so let me come down there, and that way everybody can hear. I hate it when nobody can hear what we're. If I could find the on button. Do you know where it is?
Tom Martin has fallen, and he's got a broken arm, and he needs our prayers. So please remember Tom. I mean, he's been such a faithful member here at the church. So keep him in your prayers.
Is there anybody else?
May I share a joy? I don't do that. I've always been loud.
Okay.
And this little baby girl was born to a mom who was in, and she spent
Yeah, my wife Karen is back in town after being gone for 3 weeks to help her mom in D.C. So thankful she made it back safely. Good to have her back.
That is a good thing. As a person who used to be the one on the road, I can understand how for both of you that is a blessed event.
Is there anybody else? Holy Jesus, you call us into a life that you have told others is easy, but it is not. You challenge us to forgive, to love our enemies, and to bless those that curse us. We want the easy way, but you have given us the hard path. Lord, grant us the patience and the endurance to journey with you and to allow ourselves at times to stumble. Enable us to live into the hard way so that we might fully experience your love, grace, and your peace in this world. And to do this by becoming a people full of love and grace, and importantly, by forgiving others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Now let us pray together the prayer named for and given to us by our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now it is time for our tithes and offerings. Merciful God, who calls us to love beyond measure, we offer these gifts to you as a sign of our commitment to your teachings. Help us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to bless those who curse us. May our offerings bring healing and hope, reflecting your boundless grace in our community. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward? Yeah, amen.
next hymn is How Great Thou Art.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. And it's titled, Behaving as God's Children.
But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way the children of the Most High act, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Like normal, we have a little bit of a pre-message, more of a message to you before we get into the scripture. And you might argue that listening is something we do well. We gather week by week, and we listen to sermons, and we listen to the choir sing, and we listen to the leaders guide us through the liturgy. But are we really listening? When Jesus says to you, "I say to you to listen," he is asking for something more than just people hearing words. He's asking for engagement, for some what some call active listening. Some of the things that he asks us may be very hard to take and very hard to hear. Love your enemies isn't something that sits very easily on our ears. So how do we make space for active living in today's world? Listen to your own voice, you might say. Claim the words we say and the prayers that we pray. Claim them as our own. Wrestle with them, chew them over, and let them be real to you. When we hear this word, it comes as a challenge. We might say we don't have enemies, but we live in an oppositional age. There are always folks on the other side, those with whom that we disagree. We're often challenged on how we treat them, how we speak to them, and even how we speak of them. How can we practice this as we worship together on this day? What words can we use to replace some of the ones that we hear used all week long? Is there a liturgy that can speak to our divisions? Are there songs that we can sing that speak of building bridges rather than walls? What prayer can we learn to pray for those who oppose us, for those with whom we disagree, for those who that we might call enemies? What confession can we make that acknowledges our reluctance to see the other as worthy of our prayers, our grace, and our kindness. Can I help? I'm available to listen to and to hear your suggestions, your requests, your ideas, or to answer your questions. Call me, text me, I'm available. Everything and anything can help. Now, here in this ordinary time season after Epiphany, we're reminded that we're seeking to follow a light that would have us live and love differently. Maybe there is space once again to make the commitment to love as Christ loves, not because we've never said this before, but because we need to hear it again, but this time from our own lips. Now we'll go down into the more normal part of the message. What did you say? How's that? Come again. How many ways can we say we don't understand? How many times can we say that we didn't catch what was said, or that we couldn't figure out the meaning, or that we have to confess we were distracted by something and completely missed that someone was talking to us? How many ways can we express that? Millions, no doubt, millions of different ways for millions of the times, both before and to come. The truth is, we don't listen that often. We assume. We fill in the blanks. We wait for our turn to insert the brilliant and cutting remark formed with our razor-sharp wit when someone else is droning along about something. Our passage for this week begins with Jesus saying, "But I say to you, listen." You that listen. You think everybody would listen. It's Jesus for crying out loud. Someone that important surely wouldn't have to fight to be heard. I would hope not. But are you listening? You're not hearing me. Those statements have been made by people who are important to me. It isn't the importance of the communicator that determines our willingness to listen. It has more to do with removing our fears and in setting ourselves aside long enough to pay attention, long enough to stay invested in the conversation. What if our goal was not winning the point? What if our desire was not to figure out how to get our views across, our opinions expressed, our position defended, or our safety ensured? What if instead we poured our whole self out in listening to the other? How might that make communication different? How might that help distinguish the misunderstandings and all the hurt feelings? I used to hear those statements from Jesus, "Let those who have ears to hear," as being somewhat judgmental. I viewed them along the lines of, "You snooze, you lose" approach, "take it or leave it" approach, "no skin off my nose." But now, I wonder if there is more of a plea, or at least an invitation, in those words. It now sounds to me as though he is begging us to pay attention, to lean in and hear the words he has to offer us, because he knows these are the words of life. More than anything else, he wants us to have life, to live life, and to let life fill us and transform us and to give us peace and joy. When Jesus says, "But I say to you, listen," is he also asking that the someone listening be you? Is he asking you to please come in, stop the noises in your own head for a little while, Stop trying to justify your own existence. And let me do it for you. How often would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her brood? Let those who listen be you. Let them be my beloved son and my beloved daughter. Please, let them be you. Listen. Yes, that's what it sounds like to me these days. At least it did, until I read the words he wants us to listen to. One commentator wrote, "Congregations fill stadiums to hear sermons on, like the three easy steps of life, or five paths to a better life." Now, if Jesus had preached either of these sermons, we'd find it all a whole lot easier. But Jesus insists on preaching the word that we need to hear rather than the word we want to hear. He gives us the hard stuff. When you get a chance, read the gospel text for this week again. Is there any wonder he had to beg us to listen to him? Are these the words that we really want to hear? Do we really want to listen to and perhaps change our world around? Well, no, you know, let's be honest. We live in a world that nurses grudges, a world that licks wounds, a world that likes to get even. Talk about swimming against the tide. These words of Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke sound like a note out of tune with the symphony of our lives. Love your enemies? Ah, come on. I ask you to take a look, though. Take a listen. Listen to this rethinking of how we live in our community. Love your enemies, he says. But how do we do that? Well, we whine and we complain and we run off with a million excuses, a million justifications as to why that not only won't work, but it isn't even humanly possible. Listen, Jesus, what you're asking is not going to work in this world in which we live. Now, whether we're talking about international enemies where an expression of love for those enemies could get us labeled a traitor to our nation or soft on terrorism, or we could be labeled bleeding hearts or who knows what else. We're talking about personal enemies who make our lives the living hell that it can be from time to time until we develop enough backbone to get rid of them. Surely you aren't asking us to just put up with that bad treatment, but Christians are supposed to be welcoming, supposed to be a welcoming mat for the world. Are we supposed to allow anyone and everybody to wipe their feet on us? Slow down, Jesus would say. Just listen for a moment, please. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. But then we say, but how in the world? Shh, listen. Bless those who curse you. But then again we say, are you kidding me? Those no good whatevers. Then he says, quiet. Listen, pray for those who abuse you. Okay, well now you say you've gone too far, Jesus. That just isn't right. To put up with abuse is simply wrong. It's just wrong. Jesus says, listen, please, just listen. Watch what he does here. On one level, he repeats the same charge four times. Love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Love those who curse you. And love those who abuse you. The repetition's there to make a point. But on another level, he is shifting the call. Love, do good, bless, pray for. Do you see? Do you hear? Jesus doesn't tell us to just take it. He doesn't tell us to just be the doormat of anyone and everyone. What he tells us is don't become them. Don't harbor the kind of hate that allows abuse and cursing to happen. Turn it around. Turn it over. But notice that the words do good mean encounter. They mean to get close enough to impact a life somehow. Bless is at arm's length. When curses are being hurled, you might need to step back. You might need to step back and gather yourself that you can hurl blessings in return. But step back. Blessings aren't in your face. Blessings are laid at your feet. They're handed out at a bit of a distance. And then, after that, pray when the abuser is at work. Then get away, get far away, and then run to safety. Whatever you do, don't carry the hate with you. Run from the hate, too. From your safe place, you pray for God's healing and for God's love to transform the abuser, to change the abuser. Leave behind the inclination to return the hurt as you have been hurt. It doesn't help with any healing. It doesn't make right what has been a horrible, terrible wrong. Let it go in love. Love from a distance. Or better yet, pray that God's love can do to you what your love is incapable of at that moment. Pray that God will step in and love your enemies. Do we lose something in this process? Well, yes, according to the world, we lose something. According to a revenge culture, we lose something. That's why Jesus goes on to talk about losing. If you always want to get even, what good is that? If you always want payback, what good is that? If you always get love in return for your love, is it really truly love? Is it the love that surrenders? The love that pours out regardless of the return? Or do you want to have the love that is God? Why be kind? Well, for the good it does? Nope, I don't think so. Even though it does do good, powerful good. For the feeling it gives us? No, again, I think not. Even though those feelings are wonderful byproducts of being kind. Why do act of kindness then? Because that's what God does. And the reward we get is that we can participate in that love. We can love as God loves. That's why we do it, because God does. It starts with listening deeply enough to hear. Jesus speaks to those who listen. Now, I'm ready to listen. At long last, I ask Jesus to speak to me. And what does he say? He says, love. He whispers to me, just love. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a personal experience. In my life, I've had a couple of three people who hurt me very, very deeply. Extremely deeply. And unfortunately, it wasn't the kind of hurt or the kind of a wrong that could be done that happens one time and it's over with. Unfortunately, this was the kind of a wrong that would and had to go on for many, many years. Forgiveness is very hard for a human being, for us people, to do and to give. Now, why is it so hard? Forgiveness is hard to give because to forgive, you're going to have to overcome another emotion, a very, very powerful emotion called hate, or some variation of it. And there's one problem with this, is when we're wronged, even if it's something small, if you let it fester, it can grow. It's like a cancer. Hate is a horrible thing because it impacts our lives. It can make us bitter, make us angry, can make us frustrated. It can lead us to say and or do things that we probably don't really mean and normally would not come out with. I was very fortunate. About two-thirds of the way through this many-yeared wrong or hurt that had occurred and was occurring, I did happen to come back to the church. And today's message reminds me very much so of that time in my life. For many, many years, I had sat down in the pews where you people are with the congregation, and I heard. But did I really listen to what was being said, understand it? And more importantly, did I act on it? Did I do it? And I got to admit that, quite frankly, I did not. There's no doubt about it. Now, I don't know if it was because I got older or wiser or more mature or just had a different outlook on things. I will say that as I started going to church again and I started reading the scriptures and I started listening to the messages that were being delivered to me, something changed. I actually managed to learn how to forgive, even though it was hard. And I'm not going to tell you it happened overnight. I'm not going to tell you that years and years worth of, I'm going to say actually hate in some kind, disappeared. The continuing problem and the continuing hurt didn't disappear. It still continued for many years after. There was nothing I could do about that, but there was something I could do to forgive. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when I finally did manage to forgive, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I can't describe it or explain it, but all that hate and all that bitterness disappearing was a miracle. I also found that it became a normal and natural thing to do, to pray for the people who were wronging me, for I truly understood that maybe they need more help than I do, and that for me to have the same hatred and the same negative feelings and the same problems that they did was really not good. It was really negative. I can't stress to you enough that the words in today's message do work. Follow Jesus' words. Follow God's words. Don't just trust mine. They're there for a reason. And lastly, I want to say one other thing about forgiveness. There's another side of forgiveness that we all should remember, at least I do. It's something that I say to myself often when it comes up. It's easy, it's hard to forgive, although it gets easier as you go along. But don't forget. Now, what do I mean about don't forget? Well, the easy answer to that is, well, don't let them do it to you again. Well, that's not always possible. I mean, how often does somebody ask you ahead of time if they're going to treat you badly or wrong you? It doesn't happen. And then there's cases like my case where there's nothing you can do about it. You've been wronged, you're going to be wronged again, and you're going to be wronged again and again until the particular circumstance disappears and you're free of this burden. So what's the other part of it? The other part is, don't remember the hurt. Remember all that you did to erase the hurt, to get rid of the negative feelings, to clean yourself, and remember how you forgave in the first place and what you need to do to continue forgiving that person or persons until the problem resolves itself and it goes away. I guess that's all I can say. Don't trust in me. Don't believe in me. Trust in God. Believe in God. Listen to these words. Don't just hear them. Listen to them. Act upon them and make them be part of your own daily life, built in. Make them so that there's something you do automatically, not something that you have to consciously think about doing. Is it right? Is it wrong? Should I? Shouldn't I? Make it become part of you. Make it be built in. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand as we sing. Excuse me. God will take care of you.
Beloved, go from this place ready to listen. Listen for the opportunities to extend mercy. Notice the moments to forgive instead of to condemn. Watch for the person who needs help. Without any strings attached, help them. Watch for the blessing that the triune God gives and goes with you, pouring out mercy and compassion to you so that you may share mercy and compassion with everybody you meet. Amen.
Good week.